Our First Testament lesson is found in the second chapter of Exodus, verses 23 to 25. You can find it on page 50 of your pew Bible, if you care to read along with me. For the last couple of weeks in our reading of the book of Exodus, the focus has been on Moses. We last saw him caring for his father-in-law's sheep in Midian, where he is a refugee fleeing the wrath of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Today's reading is a transition that launches the next act in the story of God's people. Let us together listen for the word of the Lord. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Out of the slavery, their cry for help rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the Israelites, and God took notice of them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We are in the Gospel of Matthew. We're in the 20th chapter. For those of you sort of not attuned to Matthew, Matthew spends a lot of time talking about this thing called the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is not sort of, if you will, heaven up there. It is this new heaven that God is creating through what Christ is doing through us. And so this is one of Jesus' parables where he talks about what the kingdom is like. So let us listen to the word of the Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out at about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one's hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual day's wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual day's wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only an hour, and you've made them equal to us who've borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I chose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of the Lord. Some of you may or may not know that Cindy and I, my wife Cindy and I, there are lots of Cindy's around here. My wife Cindy and I went to Houston over the last few days to go to my father's 90th birthday. And he, along with most of my family, live in Houston. So when our son picked us up at the airport and drove us out to my dad's house, all along the major roadways where we went, were these huge piles of stuff in front of everyone's homes. There was wallboard. There were 2x4s. There were kitchen cabinets. There were mattresses. There was literally the kitchen sink. One of them turned upside down with the big disposal still attached to it. All of this was the result of Hurricane Harvey that dumped, at least in my parents' neighborhood, between 40 and 50 inches of rain. And hundreds and thousands of homes had flooded. Unfortunately, many of them for the third time in 3 years. But if there is any one, perhaps, minute bright spot in all of this, it was that at least this time, FEMA was ready. FEMA learned a lesson in Hurricane Katrina. When Katrina came roaring into New Orleans, FEMA was not ready. They hadn't prepared, they didn't have things in place, and so it took days and weeks for the government to gear up, to get down to New Orleans, and to begin the process of restoration of people's homes and lives. But what the government had learned at this point, though, was that when they saw Harvey coming into South Texas, and even before it got there and began to make its turn up towards Houston, FEMA had everything in place. Same thing with Irma. They had the people in place to help people. They had trailers in place. They had generators in place. Everything that they would need was ready to go the instant the people needed it. And the people of Houston, and I know the people of Florida, are grateful for this. And so if you sort of have that image in your mind, this image of FEMA having everything ready to go the instant it's needed, then you have sort of the image of this Exodus text, these short three verses that most of us, and I have to admit, including myself, often we just sort of, if we're reading this, we just sort of read right by it. Oh yeah, one king died, another king came in. Okay, they're slaves. But what this short piece tells us is that God has everything in place for the moment it's needed by us. Now, I realize that's not the way this story sounds. It sounds almost as if God's been on vacation for a while. Say, on vacation in the case of the Hebrews in Egypt 300-400 years, that God's been on vacation and hasn't paid much attention to them, and so now suddenly they cry out, and God's like, oh, wait, who are these people? Oh, yeah, I remember them. I have an agreement with them, so maybe I'll think about doing something. Because all of the words in here, God heard, God remembered, God looked, God noticed, these are all sort of passive words, right? Oh, I just kind of look, just kind of notice. But in the Hebrew, they are all actually action words. They are words that talk about what God is doing. When it said God heard, it's not just that God kind of, oh, I hear what they're saying. It is God hears and moves toward them because God cares deeply about them. So God is really there listening to what it is that they need. When it said God remembered, this is God saying, yes, I made you, my people, a covenant promise. And because I'm remembering, I am going to act upon that promise. The next, when God looked, it's not just, oh yeah, I can see you all out there. It is looking with passion and compassion. It is literally looking such that God begins to move towards God's people. And the last one to take notice means to literally share the experience. That God is sharing the experience of the slavery and the captivity of God's own people in such a way that God is going to act. And so what we see is God is not forgetful or distant, but God is there, prepared, ready to go the instant that the people cry out in need. But if we look at the bigger story, what this does is this, at least for me, raises another question. And that question is, what took God so long? Okay, because the story is that these people have been slaves for 300, 400 years. That's what the storyteller offers us. And so the question is, why didn't God act sooner? Well, I'll answer that by asking you all. I'm gonna sort of take one of my great surveys here. Okay, how many of you have ever offered advice to someone who didn't ask for it? How did that go for you? Okay, how did that go? Yeah, not well. And Terry, thank you for your suggestion. How many of you have ever received advice you didn't ask for? How did that go for you? Right? It doesn't go well, does it? And the reason is because in order to hear advice that's given or help that's offered, we have to be, or someone has to be, open to receiving it. I got this from my all-time favorite rabbi psychotherapist, Edwin Friedman, the late Edwin Friedman, when he talked about the fact that none of us can hear what someone else is saying unless we are moving toward them, or no one else can hear us unless they are moving toward us. And so for someone to hear the advice that we are offering, our great wisdom that we are offering them, essentially they have to be moving toward us with arms open, willing and ready to hear. And only when they approach us in that way, or we approach them in that way, can we truly hear what's being said. And this is where God finds God's own self with the Hebrew people. It was only in this moment, the moment where they cry out, were they ready to be open to God to receive what God had to offer. Now, I know that sounds strange to say, well, they've been slaves for all these years. But there's a difference between the slave as we think of him in Exodus and what we think of in our history in the United States. Here, slaves were men and women who were ripped from their homes, ripped from their families, brutally brought to this country. And they prayed daily to be free of this oppression of slavery. The Israelites, on the other hand, sort of began their journey in Egypt as free people. And only slowly over time, sort of incrementally, were their rights taken away. And it's only in this moment, with the change of administration, if you will, the writer tells us, well, the old king died, new king came, change of administration, suddenly something happened. And they realized what their life had become. And they cried out. Now again, notice, the storyteller of Exodus is an amazing writer. Tells this story so well. Because
The writer tells us that when the people cried out, they simply cried out. They didn't cry out to God. And what that tells us is that basically they were the ones who'd gone on vacation. They were the ones who had forgotten about God. They had forgotten that they were the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they just needed someone, somehow, someplace to care for them, to save them. And so what God does is God waits till they're ready. God waits till they are open and ready to receive what it is that God is going to give. And God does this because what God is going to give them is not necessarily what they really want, which is often the way with God. God needs them to be open because the first thing God is going to tell them is, I'm not going to set you free in place. I'm not going to set you free here in Egypt and give you your own little sort of sub-country. You're going to have to leave everything you've ever known. The place where you know the language, the place where you know the rules, the place where you have food in front of you. I'm going to ask you to get up and leave all of that and go someplace brand new. And not only that, the second thing God is going to ask of them is God is going to ask them to become an entirely new kind of people. A people whose only concern is not about their own welfare to find this blessing that God offers, but God is going to have them be a people who care about the blessing of the world, of all of creation. And so there are going to be different rules, different ways of living, different ways of understanding God. God is going to ask them to radically restructure their lives. And so they really needed to be open. They really needed to be ready before God would reach out and save them. We catch some echoes of this in the Jesus passage. We see this God reaching out, not just once, but twice, three times, four times, all throughout the day. This God, this landowner, is reaching out, looking for people who are in need, looking for people whose lives need to be changed and reoriented and to find them work. But notice God, the landowner doesn't just say, great, you just hang out here and, you know, you'll get this gift of grace, this gift that's coming to you. He says, no. I need you to go and work in the vineyard. I need you to work to build the kingdom. I need you to go and be part of this amazing new thing that's going on. And so what these two stories have for us is they have a gift and a challenge. The gift of these stories is that they are a reminder that God is always ready to help. That God doesn't slumber asleep. God doesn't go on vacation. God doesn't take naps. That this is God is always ready, always present. God has everything in place that we need, within our lives. It's all there and it's all waiting for us. But the challenge is to be open. That's the challenge. Because God, I believe, waits for us to open ourselves to what God has to give us. Because it's only in that moment that we can sense what God is doing in and through us. It's only in that moment that we can sense God at work changing and transforming our lives and sending us out to do new and great things for God. God asks us to be open. And I realize sometimes it only happens in those crisis moments. okay? But it doesn't have to. It can be our choice. We can choose to open ourselves to the love and grace of God and allow God to work in and through us. But that reality comes with a warning. Be careful what you open yourself to, because you have no idea what God is about to do with you. And folks, I speak that from personal experience. I am only here because once upon a time, I cried out to God and said, I have no idea what to do with my life. I hate my life. And ultimately, what God did was the greatest joke in the world. It's like, you're going to seminary. You're going to be a minister. And I'm like, yeah, right. No thanks. But this is what happens when we open ourselves to the power and presence of God. God will give us what we need and more. God will send us places we never thought we would go. God will call us to do things we never thought we could do. God will make all things possible in and through us. And so, here's my challenge for you for this week, is to ask yourself this question. How am I opening myself to God? How am I opening myself to God so God can give me everything I need and more, that I might be that person who works in this amazing and wonderful kingdom that God is building, making a difference in the world? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise that you have, that you seek us, that you watch for us. We give you thanks as well that you fill us with all good things, that we might work for your kingdom and for the world it brings. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.